This is Fresh Air. Unlike many assimilated Jews in America, Ari Goldman never had to search for his roots. He grew up in an observant Orthodox home, and today, in his early 40s, Goldman is still a practicing Orthodox Jew. After nearly a decade at the New York Times covering transportation, suburban life, education, and crime, Goldman became the Times' religion correspondent. And after a year writing about religion, Goldman decided he needed to know more about the religions of the world. So he took a sabbatical to study at Harvard Divinity School. That year is the subject of his new memoir, The Search for God at Harvard. Not everyone in his family was enthusiastic about his open-minded investigation of other religions. His great Aunt Minnie advised him not to go.
Aunt Minnie is a great old lady in her 90s, probably closer to 100 now, who was a little worried about my studying other religions. And her advice was, don't go, basically. She said, what more do you need to know? If you know Judaism, that's it. After all, Judaism is the best.
She said to you, remember, you can study all the religions of the world, but Judaism is the best.
Yeah.
What do you think of that advice?
I know where it's coming from. I was brought up with that idea that there is no need to look elsewhere, that all the truths are in my own faith. And especially during the 60s, when people were running off to gurus and experiencing Eastern religions, you always heard traditional Jews saying, but all that's within Judaism. There's the Kabbalah. There's a mystical tradition in Judaism. You don't have to look elsewhere. We've got it all, and we've got the truth. So Aunt Minnie's advice really came out of that that worldview.
Do you buy that worldview?
Well, I was brought up with it and embraced it and understood the world like that. Certainly the notion of chosenness makes somebody want to believe that Judaism is the only path. Part of my experience of going to Harvard Divinity School was seeing that there are a multitude of paths.
A lot of American Jews have been brought up with an almost superstitious fear of things Christian. You fall into that category.
Very much.
Give me some examples of the kind of fear you were brought up with about Christianity and Christian practices.
Well, if you pass a church when I was a kid, there was this feeling that you got to walk fast because somebody might nab you, that the whole purpose of Christianity is to convert, is to win Jewish souls and turn you into little Christian souls. So that fear of Christianity and the fear of looking elsewhere was very much a part of my upbringing.
You were told Jews don't kneel, and you were discouraged from falling on both knees at the same time.
That's right. That was one of the lessons of summer camp, and I went to a very Orthodox summer camps. They were almost an extension of the yeshiva life that I had the rest of the year, and the idea of not getting on your knees was a very powerful one. That's what Christians do. It even extended to, somebody reminded me the other day, when we were kids, we used to break the crosses off of chess pieces on the king, because after all, how can you have a cross in your house? That's going a little far, but I remember that was one of our ways to stay apart from the Christian world. And that was reinforced every day in yeshiva. I had a teacher, a math teacher, who wouldn't make crosses for plus signs. He insisted on making some sort of T, because he said, what if I erase the board and I forget to take off one of the plus signs? Somebody will think I'm teaching Christianity. So this fear of Christianity was really strong.
Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, I think it's, in some ways, it's very well-founded. I think it comes from 2,000 years of persecution. And I can say that without claiming a persecution complex on the part of Jews. I don't think that's what this means, because history really bears out that, the Inquisition, the Crusades, right up to the Holocaust. And after all, I was born just a few years after the end of the war, so that Holocaust mentality and fear was very much a part of my worldview growing up, that there is a that they're out to get you.
I'm sure your parents and your rabbis never encouraged you to go to church. Yet, as part of your job as a religion reporter, I'm sure you go to churches with some regularity to understand what's happening inside. Can you give us a sense of what the experiences for you have been like of going to churches and how that experience has changed over the years as your sense of religions has broadened?
I went into church on assignment the first time. Really went because I had to cover a black preacher in Brooklyn. And there was something, you know, because of the tradition, the Jewish Christian tradition, there was something that was familiar about this experience. At the same time, there was something very scary and alienating. So I went into churches the first few times, and I'm sure other Jews have had this experience, especially in Catholic churches, when people kneel and get up and get down and go up for communion. Like, what are you supposed to do? What's the right thing to do? But I always felt like an outsider in church. I always felt like I didn't belong there. And there was this little voice inside of me, and it was very influential Rebbe, one of my teachers in high school named Rabbi Siegel, who would always, who would appear to me in church and say, "What the hell are you doing here?" But he wouldn't use the word hell. He would say, "Get out. You're not allowed to go into a church. If the whole world is on fire and this is the only refuge, you don't belong here. Look at that cross. Do you know how many Jews died in the name of that cross? Out, out, out of the church." That is something that plagued me. And what I would do is pull the notebook out of my pocket and say, "But look, look, Rebbe, I'm not here because this is a religion. I'm not here for faith. I'm here just like the electrician who comes in, or the guy who paints the building. I'm here doing my job, and don't worry, I'm not going to succumb. I'm not going to let them nab me. I'm not going to become part of this." And that's how I approached churches for a very long time, with the reporter's notebook almost as a shield. Like, here, I'm here for my craft. I'm not here for any kind of religious experience.
Do you still have that terrible sense of discomfort when you're in a church?
No, I have. And I want to assure your listeners that I'm still an observant Jew. But I go into church and I feel a sense of awe. I feel, and this really came out of my experience at Harvard, I feel that this is something that can enrich me without my being part of it. I can go to a gospel service and love the music. I can be moved emotionally to a height that I would rarely feel in a synagogue. I can go to a Quaker service, and those of your listeners who've been at Quaker services know you just sit and you wait for the Spirit to move someone, and there's such peace and such serenity in that just act of sitting, and you close your eyes and you think, you just let thoughts run through your mind, and suddenly someone will stand up and say a blessing and sit down, and someone else will stand up and say something else that comes to them. Well, that sense of serenity is something rarely felt in a synagogue, and because there's so much movement and discussion and liturgy that kind of gets in the way from those moments. But I could take a bit of that back to the synagogue with me.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Ari Goldman. He's religion correspondent for The New York Times and author of a new memoir called The Search for God at Harvard. It's about his sabbatical year studying the religions of the world at Harvard Divinity School. It's also a personal memoir about his own faith. We'll take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Ari Goldman, religion correspondent for The New York Times, is my guest. There's a movement today in many religions and many different sects within the religions to add new rituals, to reform old rituals in order to make them more relevant. And I think women and gays in many ways have been at the forefront of this because they've been so excluded from an equal role in religions. As an Orthodox Jew, I wonder how you feel about that and if you're for opening up the religion like that. And I should mention, while you were at Harvard Divinity School, there was the Gay and Lesbian Caucus mm-hmm. and the Women's Caucus. You know, even at the Harvard Divinity School, people who were looking for new ways of practicing old religions were a large percentage of the student population within the school.
Yes. I am in the have the distinct advantage of being able to go around saying I'm an Orthodox Jew without being a rabbi. If I was a rabbi, I'd have to answer for everything that Orthodoxy does, and I'd have to uphold it and teach it. I have the pleasure of being somebody who draws great sustenance and enjoyment and faith from Orthodoxy, but can look Orthodoxy in the face and say, it's not what it should be. It should be more. Now, getting to those other issues of women and gays, I think there, too, Orthodoxy has to open up. It has to acknowledge the role of women in Judaism. It has to come to terms with the fact that they have been really oppressed in the Jewish home, in the traditional Jewish home, that they are not given full equality in the synagogue, is something that Orthodoxy should explore. I'm not saying they should tear down the machitza, the barrier between men and women, and let women participate equally, at least not initially, but they should understand, they should explore the reasons for those laws and try within the tradition to give women as much of a role as possible.
But not yet equality, huh?
I don't think Orthodoxy is ready for it. There are Orthodox rabbis. They're considered left-wing and radical who give women their own Torah. That is, the men have a service, and the quorum of 10 men makes a minion. That is, 10 men make the quorum, the minion. They can pray, but there's no reason why not to say, women, you take a Torah and you pray and have your own service when you have 10 people there, to give women, that's that kind of equality. Whether they could be brought together is something that conservative and reform Judaism has done or is in the process of doing, and more so in conservative Judaism. Because then you get to the question of the woman as rabbi, the woman as religious witness, that Orthodoxy has to struggle with from its point of tradition. I mean, after all, what makes it Orthodox is that it has a tradition that goes back to Talmudic times. Now, that tradition has changed over the years. It isn't all written in stone, although parts of it are, but there's more flexibility, there's more life, there's more give and take in the tradition, I think, than the Orthodox allow.
What do you think are some of the pros and cons of being a religion reporter who is himself deeply religious?
I think it's good. It's good to have somebody who cares about religion, who feels strongly about faith, out there writing about religion. I've been a reporter for 15 years already, and I started when I got to the Times. I didn't want to write about religion. I had come from a yeshiva university, from a very Orthodox, Orthodox-oriented institution, and a lot of my early journalism had been writing about Jews, and I said, no, I'm going to shake all that off and write about the world. And I covered transportation and education and state politics, suburban life, but I was able to go and out and cover a story and cover it well and, cover it with feeling and understanding, but I never cared as much about things that I wrote until I began to cover religion. Because religion is such an important part of my life, I can go into a church, as I was saying before, and understand how the people there feel, or at least I can understand the importance of religion in their lives. I can't always understand what their particular religious experience is, because I believe it's different than my own, but I can understand that this is something so important to their core, and that comes back with me to the office. When I sit down and write, I want to explain that experience to my readers. And I think that's a lot more important than explaining why a politician says something or why a subway car doesn't work, which is what I did in my earlier reporting. So being somebody of faith makes my reporting all that more intense.
Ari Goldman, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure. I enjoyed it.
Ari Goldman is a religion correspondent for The New York Times and author of the new memoir, The Search for God at Harvard. This is Fresh Air.